Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's another big game this week, Baltimore-Buffalo. We'll dive into that a little bit tomorrow. We do a thing called the Cover 2. Stay tuned for that because that'll be definitely brought up. Definitely.
I'm excited for that game. Like
why would
that,
you be?
Let's rephrase this. If things don't go right on Saturday, I ain't watching on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
yep.
that's the feeling for everybody in town, right? Like if something should go wrong on Saturday, Nobody's paying attention the rest of the way, right?
We're talking Royals on Monday.
I told you guys the other day, I said, yep. First topic on Monday, if this thing goes south, pitchers and catchers. And I'm good with that. Because Dusty and I were talking yesterday, like, I'd love to be talking some baseball, but that'll wait. We got a month, you know, before pitchers and catchers report. But, man, baseball going to be fun this year.
That's right. It's fun every year, man. You just got to make it fun for the listener.
Yeah, losing 106, I don't know how much fun that
is. Do you see what Jim Harbaugh's offseason is going to look like?
Oh, my God.
Brutal.
I mean, I don't heart
that on
surgery
my enemy?
And hip replacement surgery?
And cut.
And music ends. Did we not pay the bill? Did we only get 30 seconds
that's
of that?
All you got. Sorry.
Yeah, it's God, brutal. Like, I remember, I think one of my friends had hip replacement surgery because they had, like, an accident. But, man, like, that heart that's, like, got an what is it, an irregular beat?
Well, yeah, that's scary.
That's scary.
Anything with a heart. Like, when my daughter was born, she had a hole in her heart, right? And they said, well, it was like the size of a dime. Like, not big at all, but, you know, you go to Children's Mercy and they do wonderful things there. And it ended up closing on its own. It wasn't a big deal, but there was talk of if it doesn't, we may have to have surgery to close that. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother had open heart surgery. Like, when open heart surgery was just starting to happen, she had like a valve replacement in the 80s. And I remember her going in for that. And this heart stuff is very, very scary. As a football coach, I got to think, like, your heart is probably taxed more than anything with the way the ups and downs of the game, but also the stress.
I look at it like his personality. Like, he's always, like, you know, hitting Herbert's chest pads and shoulder pads and hitting him in the helmet. And he's talking about remembering birth and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's just, that's tough. But Chiefs, right? Big game Saturday. Mm-hmm. We'll have Ben Maller here in about 20 minutes or about 10 minutes here on the show. He'll join us. He's doing fine in L.A., by the way.
Yep.
I can tell you that from a firsthand perspective. Doing well. But, look, this game, I think, in the grand scheme of things, we did it 2 days ago. We talked about Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, divisional round records, all that sort of stuff. Travis Kelce was yesterday. There are unsung heroes on this team that I think when the game happens, then they start to get their names brought up. And to me, we talked about the Texans defensive line, how good it is with those great players they have in their secondary. They've got some players as well. Their offensive line is in for a day because I think where you have the Mahomes-Kelce connection, on the defensive side, you have the Chris Jones-Trent McDuffie connection.
Well, you have a healthy Chris Jones now,
correct,
too, and I think that makes all the difference in the world. And that calf injury, again, not to compare myself to Chris Jones, but a week ago I hurt my calf, and boy, I mean, I can't run at a slow pace. I can't imagine trying to play in an NFL game with a sore calf. Put yourself in like that stance, that 3-point stance, and try to use your legs to power off. If your calf doesn't work, you're not doing anything like that. And I've rested about a week now. I feel good, right? I'm not ready to go test it yet. But Chris Jones said, he goes, I've had 3 weeks now where I've rested this calf. and it feels great. And to hear Chris Jones say that at this point of the season and use the word great on how he's feeling, that should be scary for Houston, because having a fresh, healthy, rested Chris Jones in the postseason, I think he's going to shine, guys. I do, man. Yeah. He's going to shine.
Well, and he's, you know, he's part of that original, you know, circle of trust. He wants a three-peat just as bad as Mahomes and Kelsey and those guys do. But
you're doing it for Reed, you're doing it for Mahomes, you're doing it for Kelsey, and you're doing it for Chris Jones. Those are your four main core guys that you want to get this three-peat done for.
And you look at, you know, Chris Jones is like the definition of, you don't need sacks to describe your, you know, presence or your definitive position in football. He had a half sack last year, two sacks before that, never had a sack before that in the playoffs.
Right. But, and that was a big talking point for a while. You know, Chris Jones, no sacks in the playoffs.
No doubt. And, you know, where he sticks out is passes deflected. He has 11 pass deflections in the playoffs.
It's huge. Wow. It's huge. No, wow. I mean, think about all the games that he's like affected.
11, he won the Super Bowl last year.
That's what
year.
I'm saying. Like not just last year, the first Super Bowl, too. Yeah,
like, he literally deflected the pass that Purdy threw out to the flat, and if Purdy gets that pass completed, they kneel it, they kick it, Mahomes never gets the ball again. Chris Jones is an unsung hero, and I get it. He's a main roster or main guy on this roster. Everybody knows who he is. But when we get into the playoffs, and you see all these like people that tweet, and they're like, "Oh, Mahomes is divisional record, and Travis Kelce is a stud, and you know Xavier Worthy, the rookie that can make a big presence in this game." It's like you look at Chris Jones, and you're like, "This guy can wreck the day for C.J. Stroud." And we had Briscoe on Monday, and I was like, "I think the biggest key of this game is getting Omenihue, Karlaftis and Jones to get C.J. Stroud to roll out to his non-dominant side, and that's where the mistakes will happen. Hell, even if he rolls out to the right and he's got his dominant arm going that way, I still think this team getting him out of that, because I think C.J. Stroud's just a drop-back passer. He's not really great on the run. That's not his strong suit. He's, of course, I don't want to say the name Mahomes, but like even guys like Rodgers, Mahomes, those guys, Brady was a drop-back passer. What was Brady's biggest thing? Get him off his platform and make him be creative, and then you will have a chance to beat him. Chris Jones, Omenihue, and Karlaftis can all cause a scene. Plus, you throw Leo Chenal out there and his crazy ass make things kind of weird. That makes McDuffie better. That makes that combination between Chris Jones and Trent McDuffie a little bit more fearsome. Plus, like, Chris Jones may not get a sack, but he's going to put that big paw up there, and you got to throw over that thing because he's got, again, 11 pass deflections in 8 years in the playoffs. He had two last year, and he had a forced fumble as well.
He's been an impact in just about every playoff and Super Bowl win that the Chiefs have had. He's done something that impacts the game.
He's a force. That's what he is.
He's going to be a force. I'll take your Chris Jones, and I'll raise you a Turk Wharton and a Mike Dana. I think those two guys are going to be the ones that benefit the most, because everybody knows Jones. Everybody knows Karlaftis. Everybody knows Charles Omenihue. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of quote-unquote keying on those guys, right? Mm-hmm. And that frees up a guy like Turk Wharton, who had a hell of a season, by the way. I mean, let's not forget, Turk Wharton was arguably your best defensive lineman for the entire season. I mean, led defensive lineman in sacks, had tackle. Like, Turk Wharton had a really nice year. Mike Dana had 5 sacks this year. I love Mike Dana. I think he's one of the best players on this team that gets no credit. So I think we're going to see big games from Turk Wharton and Mike Dana, because everybody else is going to be focused on that fearsome threesome that you mentioned there that are like, oh my God, like, those are like real names. Mm. I mean, think about it. Did you not get goosebumps when your defensive line is Chris Jones, George Karlaftis, and Charles Omenihue? Like, that's a who's who of defensive linemen. So you're going to get those guys kind of, you know, matched up. And then here comes Turk Wharton, because he's going to be one-on-one, and he's going to beat that. And you're going to have Mike Dana. He's going to be one-on-one. He's going to beat that. So I think what we're going to see, Turk Wharton and Mike Dana have big games in the stack category this weekend.
I also think that when you look at the coming back of Watson, like, I thought that was interesting that
Watson, yes!
And I think it was Briscoe as well that said this on our show Monday, that now with him being back, certain plays you can draw up the McDuffie blitz. And McDuffie's another one of those guys. Like, you remember last year in the playoffs, like, Tyreek Hill couldn't do anything. And McDuffie just stuck him on one play where they threw it quickly out to Tyreek Hill, where if he makes one guy miss, he's gone. And McDuffie just nailed him right at the line of scrimmage. Obviously, they had Legarius Sneed.
But Sneed, the throat punch on Tyreek Hill, maybe my favorite NFL play of all time.
Yeah, can get past it.
So badass.
But, like, that's the thing about this. I think that when we look at this game, and we for obvious reasons, we love the fact that Patrick Mahomes is deadly in the divisional round. Travis Kelce's got history that he's chasing as well. Mahomes as well. This defensive front and that secondary will be the reason why they're in the big city in New Orleans at the end of the year, because, or at the end of the season, because of what this defense can do. every layer is an addition to themselves. Like Chris Jones helps the linebackers, linebackers help the safeties, and the safeties help the corners, and the corners help the line, everything like that. So I think Chris Jones, look for him to have a huge game on Saturday because their offensive line ain't great, and Chris Jones is.
Yeah, Chris Jones is going to have himself a day. Speaking of offensive line, who's going to play left tackle is the question of the day. Right now. I can tell you this, they're comfortable with either one that they decide to play at that tackle position right now. And
cool, so we're still in the same spot that we were yesterday.
they're rotating both guys. They're seeing what both guys can do, but I will just say, whatever route they decide to go, please don't make it a factor in this game.
Okay.
Please don't make it a factor in this game, because I really don't want to be here on Monday morning talking about the left tackle. I really don't. Like, it's just such a stupid conversation to have, because it seems like you got something that's working right now, and there's a good opportunity that it may be something different on Saturday afternoon than what we've seen. And again, you got to give the benefit of the doubt to Andy Reid and the coaching staff and, you know, everything that they've done over there, because they've earned the benefit of the doubt. But if it goes south, man, it's going to be a long afternoon for Patrick Mahomes. I just don't want that.
I'm going to give you a stat on the other side that you're going to love. But also, coming up on the other side, Ben Maller. He'll join us. Don't forget, Division Round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Ben Maller joins us on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan, and it's all brought to you by the great folks over at The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, we're here, divisional round weekend. We obviously are focused on the first game of the divisional round, the Chiefs and the Texans. How do you feel about this one going in for the Chiefs? Is it a big win, or is this going to be one of those nail biters?
Yeah, so it's good to be on with you guys again, and I do not expect this to be a blowout. Now, I did pick the Chargers last week against the Texans, and the Chargers could have played much better in the first half of that game, the first quarter, and the game would have been much different. They were dominating the Texans early in that game, but the Houston's defense, it impressed me. They're not the most talented team on offense. They're obviously missing Tank Dell and some other guys that are out with injury, but I don't think the Chiefs are going to have a cakewalk here. They haven't played football in a long time. I think the first half, there'll be some rust involved in that, even though they're the more rested team. And I just think this will be a fourth quarter game, and Patrick Mahomes will pull out his magic wand and little hocus pocus, and the Chiefs will win and advance to the AFC Championship game. But I would be surprised if it's a blowout, because I think there'll be some mistakes on both sides that'll keep the game close. And I know you're going, Bob, right? You're going to be out there freezing your tuchus off watching the game. And so I'm looking forward to watching it, too. It is amazing, though, how unpopular the Texans are, that every weekend they play the first game in the playoffs, which is the worst window. You want to be in, like, the primetime window, but that's how unpopular the Texans are.
Well, how unpopular they are, and even the popularity of the Chiefs can't carry them to a better time slot, right?
I know. The magic, you got the magic of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and all that, and the Texans are like this anchor, even bringing them down in terms of television popularity and all that. But it's good, right, because the weather's not great, so at least it'll be, you know, somewhat better than playing at night, completely at night. So you'll have that for you, going for you.
Two things. One, thank you for introducing me to the word tuchus. I never knew what that word was. And then two, I think this game is going to be interesting. And maybe you can kind of come to my side of this, Ben, because I think their defensive line is a not decent. I think it's a great defensive line that they have in Houston. But I also think that the way the Kansas City Chiefs know how to, like, react to everybody else's, like, system, like, I think you'll see Mahomes kind of, like, do different things. Obviously, the last time he played Houston, he had an ankle injury, and somebody tried to say they were going to make a promise or a threat, whatever it was, and it didn't work out. But I do find this interesting. C.J. Stroud, Arrowhead, playoffs, cold weather. If he goes in there and plays decent, I don't think they win, but plays decent. Like you said, it's not a blowout. Is he a top six quarterback in the NFL?
I don't have him as a top six quarterback. I mean, listen, you can change, as we know, you can change everything about your story in the playoffs, right? You play well, that's what we remember. And if you play bad, like Justin Herbert, we remember that last week for the Chargers. So, yeah, if he goes in, and he did play at, you know, played at Ohio State, which I think they get kind of cold games there at Ohio State late in the year. So he's played in cold weather before. I don't know how well he's played in that cold weather, but if he holds his own against the Chiefs defense, it will certainly add to, you know, his legacy. But this year he was not very good for much of the season in Houston, and he was the offseason MVP. I was on with you guys, you know, every week I come on, and I was kidding around. I think I was texting Bob about how C.J. Stroud won the MVP award in the offseason. Then he actually had to play the games, and he was kind of just like a middle-of-the-pack quarterback to the back of the NFL rankings. I wouldn't put him at number six, but he would definitely move up. And you know how the overreaction machine is. You play well against the Chiefs at Arrowhead, and it'll be like the Texans are set up for next year. Even if they lose the game, which I think they will lose, I think it'll be closer than the point spread. But the hype will start again for C.J. Stroud turning the corner and all that mumbo jumbo. But I agree with your analysis as far as the defense is concerned. This should be a low-scoring defensive game. Cold weather, it's got all the ingredients that normally present a low-scoring type of game.
Talking with Ben Maller here on 96.5 The Fan. You can catch him overnights on Fox Sports Radio. And the other AFC game, like the NFC is kind of the redheaded stepchild, so to speak, of this weekend's games, because you got the Chiefs, obviously, that everybody wants to watch. And then you've got this Buffalo-Baltimore game that's going to be in snow and cold weather, featuring allegedly the two MVP candidates for a quarterback for these two games. What do you see this one looking like?
Yeah, so first of all, this is you talk about legacy for Josh Allen. If they screw this up, you've got perfect Chamber of Commerce Buffalo weather, 9 degrees and snow at kickoff of this game on Sunday night between the Ravens and the Bills. But if the Bills don't win this game, that will mean that Josh Allen has lost at home in the playoffs to Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson, the three guys that are all part of this class of quarterbacks, this generation of quarterbacks. So that's a tough mountain to climb back from, to climb over if you're Josh Allen. And then you have the other factor that you've got Lamar Jackson, cold weather. He hasn't played well in the playoffs. He played okay last week, but it seemed like it was more of a Steeler issue. They just were not there. Like, they were no-showing. They went AWOL Pittsburgh against Baltimore. So we'll see what he does. Buffalo's, they're not that good on defense, but they're at home. They've got the weather. I think the Buffalo Bills are actually gonna win this game. I think Buffalo will be in the AFC Championship game, and it'll be back at Arrowhead, and we've seen that before, and I think we're gonna see it again next weekend.
Let's move over to your guys, Ben, in LA. Yep. I'm super almost believing 100% that somehow the Rams are gonna make the NFC Championship game. I just think that it's crazy that nobody gives. I don't know where we lose this, because we did it with Brady and Belichick all the time. Who's the coach? Who's the quarterback? Okay, that's all I need. That's the team. McVay and Stafford, 5-1 in the playoffs. Their only loss, I believe, was last year to Detroit, where they lost by 2 in the fourth quarter, and it was a close game. I think L.A. is the team that you don't want to play. I'm not worried about Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts doesn't scare me. Sirianni doesn't scare me. Detroit, Campbell's somehow going to gamble too much or do something, whereas McVay and Stafford, just cool, calm, collected. And I know. They played Sam Darnold, and yeah, he showed up as a pumpkin, and that whole thing's over, and $80 million down the drain. But tell me I'm wrong or crazy about Stafford and McVay.
So this game, Dusty, I like the Rams. You guys know that. But I've gone back and forth on this game because, you know, it's going to be cold, not as cold as it's going to be in Kansas City, but it's going to be, I think, in the 30s. I think originally there was going to be snow. Now they say there's going to be rain in the game in Philadelphia. And, you know, the Rams, you know, West Coast team going to cold weather, that usually is not a good formula for success. But the Rams just seem a little different. They were a soft team a couple years after the Super Bowl. They were a soft team. Even when they won the Super Bowl, they were a soft team. And so they've tried to toughen it up, and the defense has been outstanding. Although they played Philadelphia during the regular season, and Saquon Barkley had 255 yards rushing in that game. So, I mean, he absolutely killed them, and they're better now than they were then. Obviously they've been playing very well here to close the year. I did take the Rams. I think this will be a fourth quarter game, and I agree with your analysis, Dusty. If as long as the Rams can somewhat contain, they're not going to stop Saquon Barkley, but as long as they can contain him and force Jalen Hurts to make plays, I think the Rams are in really good shape here. And the Eagles have suffered some injuries on defense, so they're not as good as they were when they played the Rams. And they're really playing with house money because the Eagles are – this is Nick Sirianni. They're supposed to win. They had the great regular season. They're at home. We know how the Neanderthals in Philadelphia react if the team's not playing well. So, you know, there's a lot to like about the Rams. I am taking the Rams on the TV show plus the points. Although Matthew Stafford, I don't love Matthew Stafford in cold weather, but I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be, you know, just like most of these playoff games will be close. It'll be a fourth quarter game, and you know, it's a toss up at that situation. You know, at that point, the Rams can run the ball, unlike some Ram teams in recent years. So they have a running game with Kyron Williams, and obviously they have Puka Nacua, who's one of the top five receivers in the NFL. So they've got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I think it'll be enough to make that a very exciting game in Philadelphia.
You know, the games are going on, but the real story is Dallas, obviously. You know, Jerry Jones can't get into the playoffs, so he asserts himself into the playoffs and becomes the number one story, you know, of the week. And that's obviously the job opening there, the connection with Deion Sanders. Does Deion take this job? Because to me, that has to be the answer for Dallas, at least for our purposes.
Well, there's no – well, yeah, from a sports radio perspective, clearly. I mean, we need this. I need this in my blood. I need Deion Sanders and Jerry Jones – sitting around the campfire singing Kumbaya and with cameras rolling because it's a reality TV show. Can you imagine what these conversations must be like between Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders? They know everyone's talking about him. They love it. This is what they live for, the attention, right, all that stuff. Everyone's yapping about this. But the way I look at it, Jerry Jones has pretty much boxed himself into a corner. If you don't hire Deion Sanders, who is your fallback option? Robert Saleh? You can't sell that. You're the Dallas Cowboys. You have to hire Deion. And Deion, even though he's not from Dallas, he's lived there for many, many years. He raised his family. His kids were raised in the Dallas area. So it's just a natural. And how do you, if you're Deion Sanders, you're all about marketing and branding. How do you, if Jerry Jones is going to hire you, how do you turn down that job to stay at Colorado when your kids are leaving Colorado? And there's no reason. As long as this is all legit, you got to take the job. If you're Deion Sanders, you got to go for it.
Is there a good job open right now? Because I don't think there are. I don't think there's many appealing jobs out there. In fact, I think Dallas is the least appealing of all the jobs out there with the fact that you have to deal with Jerry. Are there any jobs that are open right now where you're like, gosh, that's a good one?
Well, I'm going to press back on that. I think all of the jobs are good, Bob. They pay a lot of money to coach football. So there is not a bad job in the NFL. And I would argue, based on the ego, and you know a bunch of these guys as well as I do, a lot of these people that work in the NFL, to get to that level, you got to have a giant ego. And there's no bigger stage than coaching the Dallas Cowboys. So that's got to be the top job. If you imagine if you go to Dallas and actually make the Cowboys relevant and win and get to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, if you're the coach of the Cowboys, you talk about being a made man. Oh, my goodness. You overcome the curse of Jerry Jones. And you win in Jerry's world? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So all these guys, you know, Deion Sanders is thinking about that. Although he didn't even win at Colorado, so who knows?
Who knows? Ben, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the games this weekend, the national championship game on Monday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Stay warm, Bob.
There it is. Ben Maller brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And he mentioned Deion to Dallas, right? And I think you and I are kind of on board with that. That would be the greatest thing we could possibly see, right? Deion going to Dallas would be a fantastic hire. I think that happens. I do. I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm going to say Deion does get the Dallas job. I think Mike McCarthy gets the job in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I think Aaron Glenn does get the Jets job. Because he actually wants the job. I don't know who's going to get the Saints job. And I think Pete Carroll gets the Raiders job. From what I understand, I don't think people believe that Ben Johnson is going to get a head coaching job. And if you're the Las Vegas Raiders at this point in time where you are in your franchise and where you are divisionally, I think you got to hire Pete Carroll out there. He's a proven winner. He's a proven name. And he is somebody that I believe could give you the best chance of going toe-to-toe with everybody else in the division that are playoff teams right now. You need a real head coach in Oakland, and I don't believe that Ben Johnson is that right. I don't think Ben Johnson gets a job this hiring cycle.
Oh, I disagree.
Okay.
I think he'll get a job. I think it's now or never. Like, you can't, like, I mean, I think the Bears should call him. I think he should go to Chicago because he's got the opportunity. I mean, like, he's not going to go to New Orleans.
He could go to Jacksonville, maybe. Jets, no. Chicago, probably. Obviously, New England's taking care of Vegas. I don't think he's going to Vegas. If they had the number one overall pick, I think he might go to Vegas, but he's not going to go. I mean, because he has Brock Bowers. He has Max Crosby.
You don't have a quarterback.
Exactly, and you're not picking. What, they're picking like fifth?
Yeah. But,
or something like that?
But who's even out there as a quarterback? You know, that's the other thing. Like, this is a bad year to need a quarterback in the NFL. And I think, right, as Binkley has said, next year is going to be a bad year, mm-hmm, to need a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, Arch
as
Manning
well.
Spearhead that with Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Those are two guys that...
But also, too, you've got Quinn Ewers going to the NFL. And I believe that he didn't get a good enough offer to stay in college, so he's going pro. Like, that's his fallback option right now, because he didn't get the $6 million we thought from Ohio State.
I thought he was for sure going to go to Ohio
someplace
State.
Like that. It sure seems like he didn't have any collegiate. Imagine that now. The entering the draft is your fallback option.
How much of that semifinal game gave everybody in college football the idea to be like, yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not what?
Taking
maybe Quinn, not on Quinn.
Oh, on yeah. Quinn. Yeah.
I mean, his pocket presence was worse than Sam Darnold.
Who lost more money, Sam Darnold or Quinn Ewers?
Darnold
for sure.
Yeah, probably. So I mean, Darnold money probably lost college like, money.
Darnold probably lost $80 million. He's going to get paid less than Baker got paid.
Oh, yeah, well, Darnold's going to end up signing a 1 year, $5 to $10 million contract to be a backup quarterback. I guarantee you, Sam Darnold probably lost well over $100 million, maybe even close to $200 million, based on the way that he played. Because if he played great against the Lions and he played great against the Rams, people would be salivating to pay that guy five years, $220 million.
Even just in one of those games, he showed up.
Just one of those games showed up. But he went eight quarters and was a ghost.
Oh, it's terrible.
And if he'd have won the game against Detroit, he wouldn't have played that game.
That's exactly right.
So then he's just like, the unknown is always paid more than the known.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So I think Quinn Ewers ultimately is entering the draft. A, there's not a lot of great quarterbacks in the draft, but B, I think that's his fallback option. I don't think he got the offers he really wanted from college. And if Ohio State, let's say, just for example, says, we'll give you $2 million to come here, is that really worth it to stay one more year in college for $2 million? Or do you try to make that jump to the NFL? And if you're a first-round pick or a high second-round pick, which quarterbacks seemingly are, you're going to probably take in more money in the NFL. So I think he did his due diligence with college, and colleges are like, we're not that interested anymore.
Yeah. I just could have sworn he was going to go to Ohio State.
Me too.
Yeah, they just screamed that. Here's some audio from the New Heights podcast. Their guest this week was LeBron James.
Have you seen this tweet from 2015? LeBron is 30. This won't go on for much longer. Thank God.
Yes, I saw that tweet throughout all of my 30s.
That's too funny.
And I laughed at it so hard every single time.
You put it up in the locker and you just put it right there. Like, yeah.
Want to know what's funny? When I turned 40, the same guy said LeBron turned 40. This won't go on much longer.
That's fucking gold, man.
So good. So good. Look at that. That's so good.
Oh, my goodness. He's going to be real upset when I turn 50.
No doubt.
So,
could LeBron be playing at 50 and still kicking everybody's ass, right?
Yes. So,
that's awesome, man.
This is a topic that we were thinking about the other day because you, out of nowhere, were watching the Lakers game and you said, did you guys just see LeBron James's left-handed dunk?
That was like a week ago now, just to be fair, right? But sometimes things come up late. I'm just giving everybody
And then all of a sudden it's an evergreen topic that we're getting ready to get into. So that's why we bring that up. And then all of a sudden, he's the guest on New Heights who just got the $100 million deal from the Amazon podcasting system, which is bravo to them.
Yeah, congratulations.
If you didn't think he was going to retire if they win, I'll say it again. They got $100 million from Amazon to do their podcast.
Yeah, but by the time Uncle Sam and Jason gets his, it's not a lot.
Okay, I was waiting for the smile. Because you remind me of the lady in the line at the gas station one time when I was like, man, the jackpot's $295 million. She goes, yeah, by the time you win, you get only $150. I said,
oh, that's it?
I said, oh, how much money do you get?
But she was being serious.
Dead serious. And I was
I'm joking.
Obviously. I was like, I literally went, and she turned around and goes, what? I said, I just didn't know that you made $150 million every year. She goes, well, I don't, but look at all that money you've lost. I go,
I was at the Hy-Vee gas station yesterday, cashing in my points, had 81 cents off a gallon, got gas for under $2 yesterday.
Wow.
Brioche, baby. And I will be going to Hy-Vee today for the tailgate stuff that we need and the liquor department that they have over here at 75th and State Line. Let's go. And so I'm the only one there, right, at the gas station yesterday. And what did they have, about 12 pumps?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right? Roughly, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Good amount, right? It's a big area. It's not, there's not only two gas pumps.
Sure.
I'm the only one there. Woman pulls in right behind me.
Mm-hmm.
All these empty pumps. And then, like, I was filling up in the shade, so I walked out to where the sun was because, you know, it was a lot warmer. And then she's, like, standing there in the car looking at me, like, waiting for me to move when there are pumps as far as the eye can see.
People are weird.
Wow.
But no, that audio, LeBron James, you know, the guy's like 30 is going to be rough. I look at LeBron James, I look at Tom Brady, because those are the two athletes in my lifetime that have been very successful once the 4-0 hits.
Who else has played this long?
I mean, was Breeze 40?
Yeah, I think he was.
Was Manning 40?
I don't think so.
But like Dusty. Manning fell apart. Like
his shoulder, head fell off. Yeah.
Well, his shoulder, like literally,
they had
to solder
his neck back on.
Who was better at 40, Brady or LeBron? Because I think, and I'm gonna defend my case that it's LeBron.
I'm gonna go with you on that because I think it's harder to play at this level in the NBA than it is at play quarterback in the NFL.
LeBron practices every day.
Yeah,
LeBron plays on hardwood.
Hardwood.
LeBron
up and down,
has to run
defense,
constantly.
Offense. Yeah,
and I know the NFL has psychos in it, but like it's not like Tom Brady was practicing every day, every week. He was practicing Fridays. That was it. By the time he was 40, they're like, Tom, just play Friday. We'll give you the game plan Thursday. You just walk through it. I know that because they would say that it was in his contract in Tampa.
And that's fine.
Have to practice it.
And I have no problem with that.
Now, again, he won a Super Bowl at 40. LeBron has not won a championship at 40. LeBron athletically, to me, at the age of 40, is something that I didn't think we'd ever see. Go look at his numbers. He's averaging like 26.
Yeah,
like,
but he doesn't even look like he's 40, you know? Like, I mean, he looks like he's looked since he got into the league. Now, obviously, his hairline is receding, and he's older, obviously.
Well, so is mine.
Yeah, exactly. But from a playing standpoint, LeBron hasn't aged. From a playing standpoint, LeBron has not aged at all. And that's impressive in the NBA because you're up and down, back and forth, playing offense, playing defense, guarding some of the best players out there. And as you mentioned, the hardwood does take a toll, man.
By the way, I do. Do you think it's LeBron?
Yeah, I think LeBron's the best athlete of all time.
Yeah, what Brady did was impressive. But like LeBron looks like he could go for another 5 to 6 years.
He's a top 15 player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
I mean, I know he was joking, but you don't think he plays till he's 50.
Yeah, but LeBron doesn't get sacked. Yeah, well, neither did Brady.
Neither did Brady.
Like, Brady had rules against him.
And if Brady got sacked, it was twice a game.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'll look it up how many times he got sacked in his final 2 years of the league.
And that's not to take anything away from Tom.
No.
I think Tom's great.
Yeah.
But like what LeBron's doing in that sport, which is more physically enduring than football, like, as a quarter. Yeah, Brady was 40 and he was a slot receiver. We have a different discussion.
Or a left tackle, but he wouldn't be playing those positions at that age. The ability to not get hit has prolonged the shelf life for quarterbacks, and that's great because we want Patrick Mahomes to stay around as long as he possibly can. But, you know, after covering the NBA for 2 years, I have a greater appreciation for how these guys work, and it is work out there. And for all the folks who say they don't play defense or all the stuff, like basketball is not my sport, but I appreciate how good they are. I believe NBA players are the best athletes on the planet when it comes to the four majors. And watching those guys defend, watching them go up and down the court, watching them just work sets on offense, it is nonstop grind out there on the floor. I mean, it is a freaking workout session every single minute they're on the floor.
You ready for this, Mac?
Yeah.
From the 816, stop it now. LOL, a non-contact sport versus a violent sport. Not to mention Tom changed his entire throwing motion to not show age in his arm. You guys sound like Skip Bayless.
Changed his
good.
Throwing
That's
motion.
A compliment. Skip Bayless is one of the most successful,
highest
paid individuals who have ever done this. So when you use that term Skip Bayless, I said it for years. People call you're like Skip Bayless. Thank you. That's a great compliment. I wish I could make $5 million a year.
Yeah, just, you know. From the 785, another fake story from Dusty, LOL. Not fake. And if you want to know where that lottery ticket story was, Greenwood Casey's.
Oh, Greenwood.
If you know where that's at, you go straight to the light. There's a Greenwood. There's a Casey's on the right side. I walked in. There were three people in front of me. The old lady was one of them. She literally complained about the lottery ticket being you lose half your money. Uncle Sam, I just don't know why I would make stuff
why would I make things around and make stuff like that? That's something that you've actually experienced.
Like, literally happened. Like, Casey's, Greenwood, there's a coffee shop just up the street. I don't know what to tell you. That's just, if you don't believe my life, you can come follow me around for like a week. You'll see it happen. I'm serious. Another fake story. Why would I make a fake story about a lottery ticket in case?
What was your other fake story that you made up?
They got a huge hog? That'd be a fake story. Yeah. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into Smash or Pass on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
It is a Thursday, so it's Smash or Pass Day.
Yes, it is.
Smash.
Let me ask you guys this one. I talked to Dusty about this one in the break. Mac, I haven't talked to you about this one for Smash or Pass.
Can I say something?
Dusty's smashing this one.
All right.
Texas Rangers have announced their TV deal. They're not going on television this year. Straight to streaming.
Oh. $100
for the year. Smashing or passing?
Smash.
Dusty?
Absolutely smash.
Yeah.
Smash. It's like, sign me up.
Yeah, that's butter.
$1.62 a game.
Yeah, we did the math. $1.62 a game.
We really dove into it.
Yeah, and I'm sure people are thinking, I'm not paying that money. But you know what? If it's on regular TV, you are paying that money because you've got to upgrade your cable for like $10 a month times 12 months is $120. So it's actually cheaper.
Wow.
If you buy the games on streaming, then if you upgrade your cable package to the sports pack, that gives you the opportunity to watch these games for an additional $10 per month. Yes, I know you can cancel after the season, but why go through all that? You got to deal with a call center.
No, that's easy. I like that.
I love it.
I'm in on that.
I love it. And that's where the Royals should operate right now.
Yes.
That's where they should go. You know what? Stop dealing with all this nonsense, especially coming off a season where you went to the playoffs. You're going to have high interest. This is the year to smash your own streaming service and do it that way, because people will sign up this year.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Teams got the opportunity to win. And I was talking to somebody who works in baseball yesterday and kind of talking about the team and the way it's assembled. And I said, what do you think about, Vinny Pasquantino or whatever? And we were kind of talking about Vinny a little bit. And the conversation was, as long as Bobby wants him, Bobby gets him, because they're going to do whatever Bobby wants now going forward.
Yeah.
Why are you smirking at me like that?
Because you're going to hate me in about 5 minutes.
All right. Why?
Because we had a surprise today for Smash or Pass.
Yeah.
You know our buddy Aussie, Mr. Yeah. Robert? Vegemite sandwich.
Oh, I know. He texted me that he was in the parking lot, and we were in the middle of Ben Maller.
You ever had a Vegemite?
I'm not going to ever have a Vegemite.
You're going to have to.
I'm not.
It's part of the segment, Bob.
I don't care. I don't eat on the air, so
you
I'm not going to do it.
You had Uncrustable on the air.
I took one bite, and I'm not going to do it.
You only have to eat one bite.
Nah, I'm out.
Did you grab one, Mac?
Yeah, no, I'm out.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
You're not, though.
No, I am.
No, you're not, or you do it. This is a team sport.
Nah, I'm out. Not doing it.
Mm-mm. Wow. Wow.
He's a solo sport guy.
Yeah, not going to do that one.
Wow.
Not even going to give it a try? Okay.
Mm-mm. Smells like a peanut butter sandwich, bud.
Mm-hmm.
It actually does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad you're participating. Do you have your camera on? Because this is tough.
I can't even see Mac right now.
Yeah, the sun is rough. Okay, my camera is on.
So there it is. Check out that beautiful cross section. Thanks to our Australian friend.
Oh, God.
What's wrong? It looks like a cinnamon roll.
Look like somebody vomited.
I don't know what vomit you look at. But yeah, we're going to do this. Mac, you ready? You got your camera on?
The camera's only working for you, so I've got it on you. Got it on you, Dustman.
Yeah, really, that reaction makes me want to...
A lot of butter happening.
Yeah. It's really not terrible.
I feel like he laid light on the Vegemite for us.
Not bad. It's like creamy.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's not bad at all.
The creamy sandwich?
Mm-hmm. I can see how toasted.
Mm-hmm.
This toasted would be good.
He said to toast it.
Yeah. We don't have a toaster, Aussie.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, I think we do, don't we, in the break
we do?
Room?
Oh.
Well, at least the oven. Turn the oven on. Stick it in there.
Yeah.
Not liking it as much now. It's fading.
Mac's like,
it's got a weird like ending.
I don't like the way it's ending.
It's not a happy ending.
It's not happy?
No.
What
it's
is
not
it?
Like it's not like you're not gonna like gag, like, but it's just like,
oh my God, what the hell is this? Mac is like slamming anything he can find. Are you drinking Windex?
Got a Powerade in here.
Yeah,
it's it got a little rough at the end there. Not gonna lie.
Man.
Not gonna lie.
Who?
I was like, oh yeah, this is good. Oh wait, this isn't good.
Both of you guys are like, oh my God.
At least we did it.
Fine, I don't care.
God.
It won't go away.
Yeah, the taste is going to stink.
Like, it's like sticking on my head. Like it's on the roof of my mouth.
Oh, no.
Woo. There we go.
I'll see. Trust me, man. I love you, man. I appreciate the gesture.
I do. I really do.
Oh, man. It's not my cup of tea again. I tried the last one. Didn't care for it. This one, can't do it. I don't know what they're doing in Australia, but not eating the good sandwiches. All right. Our other smasher passer, sandwiches from the 1950s.
Yeah, we got some good ones, right, Mac? What do we got?
Oh, my thing's loading, Bob. I don't know. My computer back. Okay, here we go. No shortage. All right, here we go. The frosted sandwich loaf? You'll find a frosted sandwich loaf at most parties in the 50s, also known as a party loaf. It's a concoction that looks like a rectangular cake, but actually consists of bread layered with savory fillings and coated in cream cheese.
Did you get?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's about right.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm out.
Out on that.
I'm out on that.
Yeah, I'm good. No need.
The Welsh rarebit. Open-faced sandwich. It's got, I'm trying to see, I mean, it's got, looks like it's got eggs on it. I don't really know what this
basically
is.
Basically a grilled cheese sandwich without the top layer of bread.
Sure.
Yeah.
Smash.
Yeah.
Very smash.
Open-faced grilled cheese?
Mm-hmm.
There's not an open-faced sandwich I wouldn't eat.
What about a Vegemite? See, now you got the hiccups. Like, that's why I can't eat on the air. You get that. Like,
I don't have the hiccups. I just had had a little soft burp.
Yeah, that's what it does to me, like, and that's why I can't do it. So,
Monte Cristo? I didn't know this was a 1950s sandwich. I love it. So good.
It's like French toast stuff with ham and cheese,
yes,
right?
Yeah. A little jelly action.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm not opposed.
It's fine.
What is going on with our music today? Like, do we not pay the bill?
No, we just have a computer that's here before Bill Gates even decided to start Microsoft.
Legitimately.
Do you know how long we've been complaining about these computers?
Yeah, well, keep going. Bad. They'll still be there tomorrow. We have a TV in their studio that still doesn't work. But yet you have ass clowns up here. They're like, can we get better carpet?
It's actually chomping.
Yeah, champing.
Oh, champing.
That's yeah, we have one TV. Bob can't even see it. And then we have another one that doesn't even work. And then the only upgrade we got was a 22-inch like Vizio in Mac's office.
Like, seriously, like,
yeah.
It's been 15 years that computer has not worked. I don't know if it predates that. It may predate that.
It may predate me. Yeah.
Like literally predate your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. This computer's been here before Mac was born.
Australia has fairy bread, which is incredible. I don't know what that is, but I'd try it.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll try almost anything once.
Yes.
I pretty much have tried everything once, and I know if I like it or not. My parents used to give me all that sort of crap back in the day. Like, you don't even know what it tastes like. How do you know you hate it?
What
like,
was well, it?
You know, like, one time it was a beet. I ate a beet. Mm-hmm. I was like, always like, ugh, it looks like it's bleeding in your bowl. And they're like, well, you don't even know what it tastes like. I tried it. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Like, I'm out.
See, I could sit down with a can of beets and eat them just fine.
I think I like beets. It's been a minute,
they're
but I think
very
I like
earthy.
Them.
Yeah, that's the term. It tastes like you're eating dirt, which I don't mind.
Like, you know? My family, like, we're all cottage cheese lords, and they would put their beets over cottage cheese.
So I don't like that.
I just love
you're big on the cottage cheese.
Oh, God. I could eat it all. God, I could eat it every day. I mean,
do you eat it every day? Because it's a good source of protein. Like, it's healthy for you.
I use it as the binder in my lasagna if I make it.
Yep.
I can take a bag of Frito scoops or, hell, any chips. Ooh. Well, I mean, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to have Doritos, but like, I'll take a bag of like Frito scoops and cottage cheese, small curd, large curd, and just
there's
scoop
a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
really?
Get the larger curd or the small curd?
Really? Which do you prefer?
Either. Doesn't matter.
Does it taste differently? Or?
Now, if I'm doing like cottage cheese and tomatoes, small curd. And then I put like, it looks like somebody ashed an entire cigar of pepper on my tomatoes. Because I'm just, you know, nonstop, like pouring it on.
There's nothing better than a fresh tomato with salt and pepper.
Oh, so I can eat it like an apple.
Brioche. Yep.
See, like onions, I tried those. Not a huge fan. I like a red onion on a burger. I don't like white onion.
But like you chop it up, sear it, doing all that stuff. Like obviously,
so you like grilled onions.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Raw onion, you're out on.
Just like if you got a quarter pounder from McDonald's,
right?
And they put those gigantic chunked white onions.
Yeah,
no
onion on.
Not
that.
A chance. Okay. But like the little small diced ones on like the double cheese. Totally.
Damn, my
fine
friend
with
PR
it.
Used to eat onions like they were apples back in the day, and then he used to eat onion and butter sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Now we didn't have a whole lot of money growing up, so people were fighting for everything.
Why do you think I like cottage cheese?
I mean, onion and butter sandwiches.
Yeah. Yeah, onion and butter, that's tough.
I'll take Vegemite over that.
Yeah, I just take the onion off and eat the butter.
The butter sandwiches. Yeah, we had butter sandwiches. Leave your teeth marks in the butter. They put so much on it.
Texan agrees. Doritos and cottage cheese is top tier. Large curd. Cool Ranch Doritos dipped in cottage cheese or like crunchy Cheetos and cottage cheese.
Okay.
Damn,
okay,
dude.
I could try that.
Come out there looking like I got bit by like Chester Cheeto. Got like an orange circle around my mouth and like foaming cottage cheese. Nate Taylor in 25 minutes, but coming up on the other side, we're going to nip it in the bud.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
With the left tackle situation here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home. Kansas City Sports. Sure you don't want one of these?
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Well.